Welcome, everybody, to the Table Rush Talk Show. I'm your host, Misha Zvagintsov, and today I have an inspiring conversation with Chris Felton, a true beacon of resilience and transformation. Chris went from the brink of financial collapse to becoming a seven-figure entrepreneur. He's here to share insights from his book, Think and Grow You, and to discuss how radical self-accountability can lead to unimaginable success. Join us as we explore his incredible journey and learn actionable strategies for personal and financial growth. Enjoy today's episode with Chris Felton. Chris, welcome to the show.
Misha, awesome to be here. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, indeed. And we're going to go deep on this book you wrote, Think and Grow You, subtitle, How to Get Out of Your Own Way and Level Up Your Life. Anybody listening, watching, paying attention can go to chrisfelton.me and see all about Chris. Can also go to chrisfelton.me/book and check out the book that we're going to be talking about. So let's get right into it, Chris. Why did you write the book? What's your story?
I wrote it because I don't know if you've ever felt stuck.
Before. Oh my gosh! Yes. How many times? Which year?
Yeah. Which hour? For some of us, right? I was really stuck, and I was $250,000 in credit card debt. I'm a financial services entrepreneur. I'm on my second marriage. I'm paying my ex-wife $5,200 at the beginning of every month. I have a 6,000 square foot office lease that I can't afford. Like, it's just one mess after the other. So I was pretty stuck, and I know what it's like to feel that way. And I also know what it feels like to be so stuck that you think that giving up is the only option. And I was really close to doing that, because it was really a Mount Everest, base camp looking up at Mount Everest. It was very overwhelming. And my life was a disaster. Yeah.
When you say giving up, do you mean literally like ending your life type of giving up?
Not that dramatic, but quitting on my dreams, which, isn't like ending your life, but it is a little bit of a, internal death. Right. And maybe I just need to, go back to being an employee again and just kind of give up on this whole thing. So that's what it was. And I was close, but I didn't do it. And instead I decided to make some really drastic changes in my life and get to work on changing me, because I appeared to be the common denominator to all my problems. So
you were telling me you wrote this great article, why are there so many smart, talented, broke people, especially in America, in the richest country in the world? Why are there so many smart, talented, broke people? And you were telling me about, before we hit record here, you were telling me how your wife was like, "You're really smart. Why are we so broke?" In effect, that's what she said. Or tell me about that again.
Yeah.
She
basically said, well, the gist is what was the turning point in my life was I had to pay my ex-wife the very next day, $5,200. And my kids were little and they lived in Atlanta. I'm in Colorado. And I was out of money. I couldn't borrow anymore. I mean, like I said, $250,000 in credit card debt. And, so my wife's finally clued in, Marlo, my current second and last wife. And the only way I was going to pay her is I had to come home and convince her to give me her money, because she had money separate from me and she was smart enough not to commingle money with a broke dude. And so, dude, I had to talk about ultimate closing techniques. I had to convince my wife to give me the money to pay my ex-wife. Not sure it's ever happened. This is when everybody stops listening. They're like, Misha, why are you having all these dumbasses on your show? Like, are you desperate for guests? Like, what's your problem, dude? And so my wife's 5'1". Everyone's scared of her. Her name's Marlo. Tasmanian devil Marlo's no fun. She loses it. And she gets so pissed off, she throws her purse at me not once, not twice, but three times. And it's just like, we're better than this. Like, what is your problem? What is your issue? Like, you're not a dumbass, but why are you a dumbass? And like, you know, it's just over and over and over again. And finally I said, well, why are we still married? And then she went upstairs to figure that question, the answer to that question the rest of the night. And that was when I was alone with my thoughts. And that's when I made some serious decisions.
Tell me about those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I had to once again, like, you know, I it was almost like dominoes kind of falling in my life. And I looked at, I was like, I mean, it was very, very enlightening, right? Called a hand of God moment, where it was, I realized that my first wife never had a chance because I expected it to fail. And one of the things I coach people on a lot is, I'm like, you don't get what you hope for, but you get what you expect. And most people hope positive, but they expect negative. So I sabotaged that whole deal because I expected it to fail. And I was doing the same thing with my second marriage. So I realized that, you know, I couldn't see my kids. They're two little boys, Caden and Carson, because I was too broke to go see them. I'm drinking a ton at that point. My health's not good. And the financial stress was, it was really impacting my wife, Marlo, physically. And so what I had to do, Misha, is I had to break my addiction to hopium. Right. And that's where broke people live. They live in hopium, and they're hoping things change while they fiercely insist on remaining the same. And I call that rearranging the furniture on the deck of the Titanic. It doesn't really matter what you do to the deck furniture, the boat's going down. And that's what I was doing, just manipulating situations and circumstances in my life. It wasn't my issue, it was their issue. I was pretty good at playing victim. Our society's gotten really good at playing the victim card. And I had to take 100% responsibility for the crap show that was my life. And that's what I did.
Yeah. I'm just looking. I have a list of questions. And of course, I immediately didn't follow my list of questions and started skipping around. So I want to backtrack a little bit. Your subtitle mentions how to get out of your own way. It's a big part of the book. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, it's just kind of, you know, in the story is like, we get in our own way. And how do we get in our own way, right? We, you know, our human condition is comfort, right? We're addicted to comfort, right? It's one of the first quotes in my book from author Jeff Shore. A life spent seeking comfort results in an entirely uncomfortable existence. We procrastinate, we judge, we hesitate, we hold back, it's us. And we have these patterns that create stuck. And so it's really getting out of your own way is like, oh, the awareness of this is how I screw myself over. And instead of going down this habitual path, what do I need to do to interrupt that? Have a different thought, have a different feeling, take a different action. Get a different result. So it is. And it's just, I mean, you know, and I haven't all, you know, I'm not some guru. I haven't figured it all out, but man, I'm really good at finding or becoming aware of how I screw myself over and stopping the madness before it starts. So getting out of your own way. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's great. I also want to make sure I gave you a chance to. First question I asked you was, why did you write the book? What's your story? And then you're going on good telling me that, and I interrupted you with a question. So I want to make sure I gave you the time to answer that sufficiently. Why you wrote the book? What's your story?
Yeah, no, I think it's the, you know, I'm super empathetic to that getting so stuck where it's just much easier to quit on your goals, dreams, and aspirations. And like I said, I was really close to doing that and just kind of, you know, pulling back and retreating and getting a job and going back to safety and comfort and you know, and I mentioned it in my article, like, we become comfortable with dysfunction. Right. And I started becoming comfortable with losing. I started becoming comfortable with being broke. And so instead of, quitting, the challenge was handed to me to be like, all right, this is the catalyst that you must take on in order to grow and develop and change. And so, so the reason I wrote the book, I mean, a couple reasons. One is, my kids are 22 and 19, and I didn't want to go to my grave without some serious wisdom getting handed to them from all the stupid mistakes I've made in my life, right? And that's been a pretty cool benefit, having them watch, read it and go like, Dad, holy crap, I had no idea that this was going on. It's amazing because the book is really about me throwing out my dirty laundry of this is what a jackass I was. And I finally woke up and then I made some changes and I got these different results. But secondly, it's just, I would hope that people would, grab the book and just say, okay, because there's 50 concepts in there. And it's written in a way where it's a few hundred pages of instruction. So it's people probably heard what I'm teaching, right? Because that's what happens in personal development. People just regurgitate the same crap over and over again. They repackage it, and it's really just Think and Grow Rich in a different, cover, right? But I wanted to do it differently because I'm like, okay, this is what I taught. Here's a quote that kind of backs up what I taught. Here's a resource that I used to change my life, whether it was a seminar, a book, a coaching technique, a technology. And then here's an action step that I recommend that you take that I took to change my life that's tied to what I'm teaching you. And then what's cool about it, Misha, is there's my personal story that's 300 to 700 words that really matches that flow of like, I was a mess. I woke up to it. I did what I'm telling you to do, and I got this result. So it's not just another personal development book that's just regurgitated. It really has my point of view to it that makes it unique. And it's coming from somebody that actually did the work and got the result that the person's looking for. So that's why I wrote it, is people can read it and they're like, yeah, he was kind of a disaster. So maybe there's hope for me. And then he did these things and then he got some results that I would like to have. So yeah, this is good.
Again, everybody, chrisfelton.me/book. chrisfelton.me/book. If what he just described sounds intriguing to you, it sounds to me like, too, I've got a list of questions here. But before I get to that, sounds to me like, too, that this book perhaps not only can help you get out of that massive stuckness, perhaps you've gone through that divorce, and which can be such a heavy time, or you're in flux with your business or your career, which can be another very heavy time, especially if you have those going together. So it's a great tool to help maybe get through that, like the heaviest of heavy times. But perhaps it's a great tool for as well as like, hey, I'm feeling a little wonky today. I'm not willing to do the next indicated step for my little business or on my entrepreneurial journey. Let me grab this book and find something that relates to that. Is that a good way to frame that?
Yeah, no, I mean, because it was books. I had seven or eight kind of go-tos where, I'm like, I got to shift, and so books always help me kind of shift. So instead of having a bunch of books, I mean, I want it to be a resource where people can pull up and go, oh man, yeah, he talks about forgiveness here. He talks about being an approval addict. He talks about deservingness. He talks, okay, what did he say about it? Okay, what's the exercise he did? Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping, my prayers, it's a go-to book that people can use, forever. So.
That's great. Thank you for that. How do you get out of your own way?
Yeah, it's really, you know, recognizing those patterns, you know, of like, okay, this is the pattern. You know, one is, and it's a forever, you know, project for me. I call these infinite games, but judgment, right? We live in a society. It's just, holy crap, dude. It's just nonstop judgment. And it's just back and forth. And there's a book called, it's, and I recommend it in my book, called Positive Intelligence, written by a guy named Shirzad Shamin. It's an unbelievable book. And he says judgment is public enemy number one. It is public enemy number one. And so, you know, like that, it's just, how do I get in my own way? Well, I got a serious judgment issue, right? I judge the person, you know, I get in this resistance state, and resistance is what is happening should not be happening, which when you really think about it, it's kind of a ridiculous place to be, because it's happening. And so, you know, the quicker we can get to accepting what is, then we can make some changes, even though it might suck a little bit. So, you know, it's just stuff like that. It's just, you know, judgment. And like, you know, I've given talks across the country and people still haven't forgiven their parents. And they still haven't forgiven their, I mean, it's got all this garbage. And I call it running a marathon with a 20-pound bowling ball. I mean, it's freaking exhausting, dude. And I know, because I'm 52. I feel infinitely better. And I got way more energy than I did at 32 and 42 because I cut the damn bowling ball off. So it's really these patterns that are just massive leaks of energy, right? Because it takes energy for your dreams to come true. And to make it happen, you know,
yeah.
And if you're getting sucked in with resentment and just all this crap that just ruins your life and just takes you off of ultimately this, we want peace. It's just, anyway, you got to go to work on it. It's not easy, but it's worth it.
Absolutely. I was sitting with a group of men one time, and it can always be we can have that question. What is God's will? What's God's will? Right? Whether you believe in God or not, or
yeah,
that's a question we're all, yeah, we're all going to have, right?
Yep.
And I was sitting with a group of guys, and this old guy who's probably 85, pushing 90. And he goes, you want to know what God's will is? To the whole group of guys, right? You want to know what God's will is? It's what's happening right now.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I was like, it hit me in that moment, man. So, so strong. I was like, yeah. Like, really, whatever anybody's doing, anybody, that is God's will right now, or the universe's will, or the grand plan, however you want to say it. A lot of the times it doesn't make sense, but sometimes it's not for me to know. I think, too, you know, my own, to relate my own story to yours, you know, in my youth, through my 30s and all that, I was like, judgment is my superpower. I'm so good at sizing people up, sizing up situations, having the next plan, you know, strategic, moving the chess pieces. And I was actually, it served me, right? People gravitated towards me as I leaned into that. And then almost overnight, that judgment was like, this is actually killing me and it's going to give me a heart attack. You know, I got to start letting go of my ideas on the way I think things need to go. The world needs to be the way you need to act. My kids need to act. You know, I mean, I need to provide proper guidance for my kids, of course. But like, the more I can let go, the more I can let go and accept. I think this is a lot of what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think there's a big difference between judgment and discernment, right? And, you know, judgment has some emotional oomph to it, right? And it's you know, in, you know, whatever you believe in, but Course in Miracles says, you know, there's only love and there's only fear, right? And then everything else is a subset of that. And so judgment, you know, has some subset of fear attached to it. You know, discernment is, you know, using your analytical mind to figure out next steps. And, you know, and I'm, you know, it's a chapter in my book, it's called Get It Together. It's like, you know, get your crap together, right? Like, you know, control what you can control. And I'm a planner, but, you know, I'm also pretty good at flowing like water too. So, you know, I always, you know, and everyone's always looking for the black and white. And I took this from Mike Dooley, you know, Notes from the Universe guy, where he's just, hey, it's both ends to the middle, man. There's let it go and let it loose. And then there's, you know, control. And I just always believe there's making both ends meet in the middle. And that's a good place to be too. So anyway, but it's a dance. It's an art. It's not a science, I think. And it's good. So,
yeah, I have the Course in Miracles. I believe it is right there. Love the Course in Miracles. Love that book. I was deep into that for a good few years, doing all the exercises, all that stuff. Changed my life. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, transformational. Do you reference A Course in Miracles at all in your book?
I don't think I do. I'll have to look. And I can't remember the author. It's probably behind me, but he wrote a book called Course in Miracles Made Easy. It's a great book.
Oh,
it's a phenomenal book. Holden, he's a personal development kind of guru. Anyway, that's a good book.
Yeah, you talked a bit about the turning point. Your 5-1 wife, what was her name again?
Marlo.
Throwing the purse at you. Oh my gosh, I've got an ex-wife, Dawn. I've been divorced, I don't know, 15 years by now. Coming on, God bless Dawn, and we're great friends. However, I will say, there was a time when I was in another relationship where if I'd have had to borrow money to pay the alimony and child support from my new significant other, oh my God. Like, that's a low point, my friend.
Dude, that's desperation personified.
Hey, Marlo, if you listen to this, thanks for hanging in there with Chris.
No, none of it happens without her. I always reference her because she kept me. So who knows what would happen if she didn't want to keep me anymore.
Yeah. So good. So she's throwing the purse at you and whatever, lends you the money. You go to bed that night and you have that, you know, come to Jesus moment, call it what you will, hit bottom, what have you, drinking too much, not taking responsibility, mad at the world, blaming everybody for everything. I liked what you said too, was with your previous wife, and you saw you were doing it with the current wife, was that you were wanting the best but expecting the worst. What was that quote that you said?
Yeah, most people hope positive but expect negative.
Hope positive.
Yeah, and they don't understand. It's you don't get what you hope for, you get what you expect. I mean, it's just it's a great question to sit with for a while and journal on, is as it relates to your wife, to your life, your financial situation, your health, you know, whatever it is. You just got to ask yourself in your heart of hearts, what are you really expecting? It's a great question, because you're getting exactly what you're expecting. It's powerful.
Oh, and why it resonated with me so strongly, and when you said it a few minutes ago, I flashed to, you know, Dawn and that relationship and that marriage that I had with her. And, you know, we birthed two amazing boys. She birthed two amazing boys, Cooper and Waylon, who are now 21 and 23 as of this recording. Sounds like about the same age as your boys. Yeah. or your kids. But I literally flashed like, oh my gosh, I think I had that mindset in there. Like the hope positive, but expect the negative. And I see clearly how, yeah, that could have added to some of the tension and the downfall of our marriage. And I'm going to be very cognizant of that moving forward with the next relationship or current relationships. That could even be with kids, my kids now, or work relationships, or any of my clients, or anybody that I hire. You know, as I'm growing my business right now, I'm hiring a lot more people. And so make sure to expect positive versus expect negative. Yeah, love that. You had a quote in your book. There's a quote in your book: we're a miracle and mess at the same time. I love this What do you mean by this? Expand on this a little bit.
Yeah, just, I mean, you know, it, the miracle in the mess, and, you know, and one of the ways that we, you know, get in our own way and a sabotaging behavior is perfectionism, right? And, you know, and what's God's will? Well, God's will, you know, it's what's happening right now. I love that. But I'm pretty sure it's, you know, we were given some gifts, and our goal is to maximize the gifts we've been giving in service to other people. Okay. And it's not, you came here to get perfect, and it's ridiculous. So it's just, you know, the whole miracle in the mess is, you know, there's great parts about me, but there's also messy parts. And yeah, I want to clean that stuff up and get better and level up on that. But the more I just accepted myself for the good and the bad, that's when my life started changing, right? And it's cliche, and a lot of people talk about it, but, you know, it's 100% loving, approving, and accepting of yourself. I mean, that's really the key that unlocks the gold in your life. And you don't have to be perfect to have that happen. And so I think a lot of people, they just resist what they don't like. And it's just, there's so much negative self-talk. And, you know, and I talk about all that stuff in the book, and it just doesn't work. And so I had a coach, he said, dude, you're a miracle and a mess at the same time. Like, just accept the mess. You don't need, you know, an acceptance. My coach cleaned that up for me. He's like, you don't need to love it, but you need to stop hating it. Like, you don't need to love it, but you need to stop hating it. And so just accept the miracle, accept the mess, and your life just works better when you accept that.
Great. I tend to be A-type personality, and a lot of my life has been sanding down those edges and trying to relax a little bit, let go. You know, the A-type, meaning the need to achieve, build, grow, produce, succeed, good and bad around all of that. So no judgment around it. However, if I can, where am I going with this? You know, there can be perfection in that, or a requirement of perfection, or not happy about how people, places, and things are. And I think one of the big breakthroughs that I've had, which you're speaking to, is when I can tell myself, it's okay to be human. I don't need to, what's the word? Like leap over being a human, or I don't need to, what's the word I'm looking for there? Transcend my humanness, yeah. Right? It's like, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to try. And the more that I'm in that frame, and you're speaking to this, the more I'm able to not expect the rest of the world or the rest of the humans to transcend humanness. You know, I don't know if that makes sense or not, if you want to riff on that for a second, but.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot to that. It's just, we all need to lend, you know, to others and ourselves, just more grace and just more. I mean, I did a social media post. I learned this from a coach I worked with, and she's just like, yeah, man, just like, hey, no biggie, no biggie, no biggie, no biggie, no biggie. She's like, see how many times you can say that throughout the day, you know, just this whole, like, no biggie, it's not a big deal, no biggie. And I do that with people all the time. They're like, oh my God, I was late. Oh my God, I blew off our appointment. Oh my God, this, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. I'm like, well, yeah, you're fucking human. And it's okay, man. No biggie. It's not a big deal. We'll figure it out. Versus, you know, the old pat, well, judgment. You shouldn't be doing what I've done 1,000 times. I mean, you know. And so, yeah, just grace to ourselves, grace to others, chill the F out, relax. You know, yeah. It's those are all good things that will bring way more success to you than being tense. It's a there's a book this it's a book I read every morning. Emmett Fox. I don't know if you've ever
love Emmett Fox.
Fox. Unbelievable. Yes, this is around the year, but there's a chapter in here. I've read it every morning, probably for 5 years, and it's called "Loosen Up." And it's like a paragraph, and it's just a reminder. Like, dude, because I'm like you, right? I gotta make it happen. I gotta go. And my coach always reminded me. He's like, "Hey, man, things serve you until they don't."
Yeah.
So your butt's always burning. You're passionate. You want to go. You want to do big things, and that's awesome until it's not.
Yeah.
And you need to recognize when you cross the line.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Emmett Fox too, so great. Anybody listening, watching, go get some Emmett Fox along with Chris Felton's book, of course. Yeah. Think and Grow You.
Yeah,
but the last Emmett Fox I was diving deep into was Sermon on the Mount, which there's just so many great. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, are you familiar with that one?
Yeah,
so many great.
I haven't read it, but now you're telling me I need to get it. I got to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, so many great spiritual concepts in there, and just even reading a page a day of Emmett and his helping us lighten up. Yeah, Sermon on the Mount. So you also made me think of my own journey as well. I'm relating to you just so much because our story arcs are much the same, needing to accept, let go, loosen up. I have a story for you. When I was in high school, it was 1982 or something like that. I was reading Rolling Stone magazine. I loved Rolling Stone magazine. And there was an interview with David Lee Roth. I'll never forget it. And he said, don't sweat the small stuff. And it's all small stuff. And I was like, yeah. So I've tried to, yeah.
That's beautiful. David
Lee, yeah, it's beautiful, right? David Lee Roth dropping
all
a bomb.
All small stuff.
It's all small stuff. But also I had this thought along the way of, you know, I need to let people, you know, have their own experiences, live their own life, you know, go on their own path or however you want to say that. And that just speaks to my arrogance is when I started thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to let you have your own path, let you have your own idea. I was like, wow. I had to have a certain level of arrogance and egoism to even have that realization. You know what I mean? That I needed to stop doing that. Unbelievable. Is there any 12-step modalities in your history? Sounds like there might be some of that sloshing around. Or
any what?
Like the 12-step modalities, there's like myself, I've got to do some, you know, AA or GA, or there's all these anonymouses out there, or
there isn't, but I did a lot of work with PSISI seminars. That's where a lot of my personal development basis is, and my coach for 4.5 years was a facilitator for them in the past, so it's a lot of those concepts.
Yeah, it's good. Your book and the speaking messages, be willing to change, do the work, it's worth it. Riff on that for a minute.
Yeah. And there's actually one before that that I've kind of added after, but it's humble down. And, you know, that's a big one, right? Because our ego is not our amigo. You know, we're talking about that. And the ego's goal is to keep you stuck right where you are. And an ego's good, once again, until it's not. And so the humble down thing is huge because we as humans don't like to be told that what we're doing doesn't work or it's not working. And I had a great coach who would ask me, I called it the ultimate question that I hated from him, but he would always ask me to interrupt my ego. And it's a chapter in my book called "Your Need to Be Right Will Cost You Your Life." Right. And he would, after he would say that, he would say, based on results, how is your way working? And hated that question. And the people I coach hate that question. If you like your results, keep doing it. He's like, so based on results, how's your way working? You're broke. You're in debt. Your second wife has her foot out the door. You can't see your kids. You're kind of a drunk. How's your way working, bro? Not too well. And indication results, and people don't want to look at their results because they don't want to own their stuff. So they're ostriches, and they live in hopium. It just doesn't work anyway. So humble down. So I had to humble down. I had to get coachable to somebody that was living the results that I wanted. I had to be willing to change. Not optional. We have to change. We have to have a plan to grow, which is why I wrote the book. It's a pretty good plan of how to grow and develop yourself. You have to do the work, and you got to be intentional about doing the work. And I believe the work needs to be every day. You brush your teeth every day. You eat every day. You shower every day. Hopefully, some people work out every day. I think you need to go to the mental gym every day and work on you. And then I think the last one that I'll leave it is just it's worth it, and the work is worth it. And I think a lot of people really struggle with that. They're like, well, what if I do all this and it doesn't work? And is it going to be worth it? They always ask me that, Misha, is it worth it? And I got in the habit in college of asking successful people. I would ask them the question, was it worth it? And I've asked that hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times. And every time, nobody ever hesitated on that question. They knew exactly what I was asking. And without hesitation, they would say, it was worth everything I needed to do to live the life that I am living now. And so I never had the, oh, is it going to be worth it? So yeah, those are the principles that can lead to transformation.
It's so interesting how we can fight to keep that life that's devastating us, devastating the people around us, literally sometimes. And we'll ask that question, well, is it going to be worth it? It's like that question when you're in the madness is insane. Like that question doesn't even make sense. It's like you're financially falling apart, your relationships are falling apart, your kids don't love you, don't have respect for you, if you even get to see them. Marriage number two is falling apart. And you're asking me, is it going to be worth it? Like, hello.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it was my coach would always ask great questions, and he just, and one time he was just like, "Who's paying the price for this?" And I was just like, "Oh my God!" He's like, "Who's paying the price for you needing to stay the same? Right? You want to stay the same. You don't want to change. Who pays the price for the for how you're showing up right now in your life? Who pays the price for that?" And it was, I was like, oh my God, my wife, my kid, all this is just once again, but dominoes. And he's like, is it worth it? Is it worth staying the same? You're going to lose all that. Price is too high. So anytime my ego was like, oh no, I don't wanna, right? I don't wanna. I just go, no, Caden and Carson, my two boys, right? Caden and Carson, Caden and Carson, Caden would snap me out of my gravitational pull back to comfort and familiar, and would wake my ass up to do the next thing I needed to do to change my life.
You referenced one thing earlier, which I thought was so profound and so powerful, was that when we're living in that space of resentment or shoulding everybody, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that. And oftentimes that's just a direct reflection of how I feel about myself and what I should or shouldn't be doing, or old baggage that I've got that I'm just projecting onto you, barfing onto you. Yeah, how that takes so much energy. And if we are taking our energy and applying it to that, we don't have that energy to be creative, to, grow as the universe wants us to grow with our entrepreneurial spirit, things like that. I love that idea. And it really just sunk into me when you said that earlier. You want to speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, no, I mean, you mentioned you mentioned projection, and it is powerful. I mean, we will scan our environment to find things that we don't like about ourselves. And I can't remember, my wife and I wrote a book called Couples Money that kind of years ago, we wrote this book Couples Money. It was about our journey of staying married and changing our lives. And that's a good resource for couples. But we were scanning our environment and, resenting wealthy people. And then we woke up, we're like, holy crap, we can't resent something that we want to have. So we were projecting and judging, and there's kids starving in Africa, and we're in political season. It's just ridiculous, how wealth is portrayed in the U.S. It's just I could do a whole show on that. It's just insane. But there's a resource in my book. Have you heard of Byron Katie?
Yes.
Yeah, so Loving What
Yeah.
Is. Yeah, so anybody that's in that kind of like, oh, they shouldn't be, and they're this and they're that, so she's got a exercise in her book, and you can Google it and get and print it out. It's called J the Judge Your Neighbor Worksheet. It's unbelievable. Judge
That's
Your Neighbor Worksheet, and she will walk you through your bullshit. It's unbelievable. And by the time you
Oh
get to the end of it, you're like, oh, that's how I see myself. Yeah, dude, it's really good. But sometimes I mean, I have a it's around here somewhere. I got a green journal that proves I'm insane. And it's just all these situations that have popped up over the years, and I'm just like, oh, they're this and they're that. So I'll catch it. I'll catch it. I'll like And it's I list it in my book. Oh, Misha is a jackass because he did this and he said this and he shouldn't have said this, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I let it sit, and I'll grab the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, and I'll go through it. And then like 7 days later, I'll come back to the journal, and I'll be like, what alien invaded my body and wrote this? Right? And it was just all, yeah, one finger pointing out and three fingers pointing back at me, right? And it was just like, dude, that's the hole in the bucket that you need to clean up. You're that. And it's one of my favorite quotes. The world's a mirror, and it's just giving you feedback for what you're putting out, right? And so as people are like, why are you so peaceful? I'm like, because I've cleaned up a lot of crap. And so I don't invite it into my awareness too much. Anyway, it's just interesting. But yeah, Judge Your Neighbor Worksheet, Byron Katie. Her book, Loving What Is game changer, because she was a mess. And then she just realized that her whole life was, oh, my husband should do this and he should do that. My kids should do this and pick up your socks. And it was just this whole like absolute resenting what is. And then she figured it out and then transformed her life. Yeah, that's a great book. She walks through like there's a story in there where the wife is like, she's like, yeah, we do these sales calls and my husband is on the other line and I can hear him breathing, and just his breathing, just right. And she had this couple on stage, and she walked her through that whole judge your neighbor thing and saved their marriage.
Oh my gosh, it's so good, right?
Yeah,
I
but
think
she's amazing. Byron Katie's phenomenal. Yeah.
amazing. I had the one of the, the last big people are just a mirror moments was COVID, which was a great opportunity for a lot of
Oh.
us to dig a little deeper, but a lot of unsolicited advice coming my way, right? And from a few key people in my life. And I love inventorying, daily inventory of who is irritating me and who am I resentful at? And not so I can stand the resentments, but so I can get through that and past it, right? Because resentment, there's a quote out there, resentment is the number one offender. Like that will that kills more people. Like literally leads them into drugs and alcohol, prescription med mayhem. stress, heart attacks, cancer, right? There's enough proof out there that we know that if we have resentment and that toxic mindset, there's enough proof out there, scientific proof, that that is literally killing us. Where was I going with this? I'll get off my high horse. But anyway, I was like, all right, this unsolicited advice. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, that mirror. I was like, oh my God, looking at all the ways that I give people or was giving people unsolicited advice. I was like, this has got to stop. Anyway, just speaking to that,
yeah.
Right? Like really looking at what are the things that are irritating me in the world today? And how am I doing that in my own life? And that could even be, we could even look at politics, and not to pick on Trump, but if we're like, Trump's suppressing people and, or whatever it is, the Trumpism of the day that irritates somebody, it's like, yeah, it's your job to figure out how you're suppressing your kids or your wife or the people that work for you, right? Like that's the opportunity.
Yeah. No, it's spot on, but it doesn't matter where you sit politically, right? Whatever you don't like about you, you will find it in whoever you don't like. And it's it's a question I ask every day. I write it down every week in my journal as I prepare for my week. It's what am I focused on, and what must this be creating? And it's the ultimate question. What am I focused on, and what must this be creating? And so, you know, or as my coach used to say, are you throwing out poop covered boomerangs? That's what people do, man. They throw out poop covered boomerangs, right? What happens when you throw a poop covered boomerang out? Comes back.
Oh my God, that's so good. You said you need to do the work every day. We need to do the work every day to, you know, to keep growing, to strip down that ego even more. So many different ways to say it. But what's your day look like in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little cliche these days, but you know, the morning routine, and you know, what is that? And you know, some people are like, oh, it's all about it, and it's not, or whatever. But I think it's super important, because if you're gonna, I think discouragement ruins more lives than almost anything. And it's really easy to get discouraged. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm often discouraged. But I'm not going to leave the house, you know, pigpen from Peanuts, dating myself, right? With that cloud of negative vibration, or, you know, or hopping on my first meeting. And so you have to fill the encouragement gas tank, because it's, you know, it's a gas tank, and it needs to get filled up, and it's going to get, you know, down to zero. So for me, if I wake up discouraged, for whatever reason, doesn't matter, I have to do the work to shift that. And so whatever that looks like, you know, my Bible app, or, you know, Emmett Fox, or, you know, I'm a big visualizer and imager. And I talk about that in my book, where, you know, I've had a lot of really cool things and dreams come true in my life. And it happened because I would literally image it in my mind, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of times. And I always say, hey, you know, I got a lot of proof that what was in my mind is now a picture on my phone. Like, that stuff happens. These are laws. And so I have to understand the laws, and I got to do what I can to not control it, but get myself in alignment with it. And one of them is, I can't walk around being pissed off and angry and discouraged and not liking that politician and pissed off at my wife and the shouldn't and all that crap, living in resistance, which is, people spend 90% of their lives living in resistance, which is what is happening should not be happening. And when you really understand that, it's a ridiculous place to live from. Right. So,
yes.
You know, and so, you know, I mean, spending 5 minutes visualizing my ideal life and the dreams that I want to have come true. I mean, you know, and then normally, because I've gotten pretty good at it, you know, I shift, and my energy is at all time high. And then I take action, and it, you know, and I have fun with the process of growing my life.
It's amazing. There's the shiny objects of the shift in your life, right? So perhaps the seven-figure earning that you talked about, all these things, maybe we can speak to that a little bit before you do. There's also the non-shiny things. I think the fact that you can speak about peace and you can laugh about things that perhaps would devastate some people, not that we weren't devastated when those things happened, but we can look back at them and go, wow, that's kind of funny how I was gripped so tight and, you know, I was able to have this transformation. So, you know, to be able to comprehend peace and like to want peace, I think so many of us in this world, if we talked about, well, I'll talk about Western society. If we talk about having a peaceful existence, being peaceful in our nature, feeling at peace, a lot of people are going to go, yeah, no, I don't want that, man. I want the shiny object. I want to win. I want to, you know, have that mansion, even though maybe the universe is saying, well, you don't need that to be happy. I'm not saying a mansion's bad. I'm just saying some people get them, some people don't. Maybe speak to that. Like, Chris, has it been worth it? We've got the shiny objects, but then we've also got the internal goodness. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I've had the, you know, the big homes and, you know, I've done all that. I mean, I'm 52 and there's nothing wrong with it. But I call it looking for love in all the wrong places. And you're not going to find fulfillment in the stuff. It's okay to have the stuff. You know, Charlie Munger just died, you know, Warren Buffett's, you know, right-hand guy. And he said, you know, the bigger the home, the less happiness in the family. And whether you believe that or not, we downsized significantly in the last 2 years. I mean, we had the big ass house. I love where we are. This is a small home, and I'm not saying don't go after it, but if you think that you're going to find what you're looking for in that, it's looking for love in all the wrong places. And fulfillment only comes from growth and contribution to others. And somebody can go out there. There's a case study. I just forgot the guy's name. I did a keynote on this years ago, but it's this guy that he owned the Seahawks before Paul Allen owned the Seahawks. So you could probably find him that way. But he said there was just these different phases in my life. There was stuff, and then there was new stuff, and then there was bigger stuff, and then there was new bigger stuff. And, you know, swapping out the girls and just, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. And then somebody came to him and they're like, hey, we need wheelchairs for these kids. I can't remember if it was Bosnia, I mean, but it was like a war-torn country. You know, we need thousands of wheelchairs. And can you step up? And he did. And he went over and, you know, handed out the wheelchairs. And I mean, like, threw hundreds of millions of dollars at this charity. And he's just like, you know, and then interacting with these kids and like watching their lives change. And he said, yeah, that's it. That's what I've been looking for. He was looking for love in all the wrong places. And so if you're not growing and contributing to others, I mean, I stole that from Tony Robbins. I mean, he's still after it. You know, he's in his 60s and he's just killing it because he knows the people he's coached. They're like, I'm going to chill. Now, I'm not saying don't have fun, right? You can fit it all in. I'm a big believer and you can do it all. But the guys that chill, that you know, that are on this path of crushing their business, you know, going public, having an equity event, all that, like the joy is in that move. It's kind of like, you know, a Christmas afternoon after people open their presents. I mean, the energy just dies down. But the palpitation and the excitement leading up with your little kids towards Christmas morning, that's fun. And then they open their presents and then it kind of drops. And so you lose out if you're not going after the next thing and enjoying the process, because I believe there's no happy ending to an unhappy journey. But growth of you and contribution to others is, that's fulfillment. And Tony Robbins knows it, because he's coached a ton of people on it, and he's watched them not listen to him. And they go chill, and it's a nonstop party, and they become messes because they stop growing and they stop contributing to others. That's why you'll never see him do that. So go have your stuff. It's fine. But if you think you're going to find fulfillment in the stuff, you're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah. So interesting too. Someone hearing this is going to go, yeah, but I'm going to get my stuff. And then they'll get the stuff, and then they'll perhaps crash and find fulfillment.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean,
welcome to the journey, right?
Yeah. I mean, I did it too. But at least when I did it, you know, I knew, I mean, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a great house, a great view. It's unbelievable. It's great. And maybe it's because I was expecting it not to be that great. And it wasn't that great.
Yeah.
You know, and now where we are, I love where we are. Smaller house.
That's so good. In 3 minutes or less, tell me what I don't know if you can do this, but what do you do, or how are you serving people that want more? So they're reading your book. Like, I know you like speaking on stages. You're here now sharing this amazing wisdom. Your peace emanates. So that's beautiful. What are you doing out there with all this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a partner in a financial services investment advisory firm. So, you know, my role in that is bringing, you know, mindset to new advisors, as we're looking to attract 1,000 new advisors in the next 4 years. And one of the things I help them do is, you know, shift their mindset on lots of things, success, money, those things. Cause, you know, like my LinkedIn article, why is there so many smart, talented, broke people? There's a lot of broke financial advisors out there. And I know, cause I was one. So that's, you know, that's a focus to grow, you know, our firm Summit Global Private Wealth is a big focus, but I speak to, you know, a lot of people, sales organizations, mortgage, real estate associations, you know, commission driven salespeople, you know, network marketing, those types of firms, to come in and really, you know, do keynotes and do half day, full day workshops on helping their people shift, get out of their own way, and level up their results. So
awesome. That is awesome. I love the service perspective. You've mentioned it a few times. You also said contribute to other contributions to others. And I imagine that's a lot of what you're helping new brokers, perhaps established brokers, and all, you know, in the industries, the sales profession and the industries that you're talking about, is helping people have that shift to serve versus shift to my payday. It's shift to serve. Yes.
Amen. Absolutely. Yep. That's one of the ways we get in our own way. What's in it for us?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So you're out there speaking to people, you're inspiring people. Inevitably there's going to be people who go, yeah. Internally, what's the big hiccup to shifting to that service mindset, or to getting out of your own way? Because you're out there talking to thousands of brokers, mortgage brokers, real estate agents. You said the list of people, telemarketers, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the main internal objection, I guess, is what I'd say. Is it like just plain denial that won't work for me, or a fear of if I have that shift, I won't make money? Or does that question make sense?
Yeah. I mean, there's a good book to reference that will kind of wake everybody up. It's called The Go-Giver. It's an unbelievable book. And it's a story. It's a, you know, commercial real estate guy, and he gets introduced to a giving first type mindset. And so it's transformational. And if you apply the concepts in that book, your life will change. I guess my thoughts are, you know, once again, based on results, how's your way working? Right. And if you like your results, then, you don't need to listen to anybody. You got it going on. Even though that's the first step of decline is when you stop being coachable. But you know, if you don't like your results, you probably want to try something different. But you know, it is a natural law, you know, and I talk about it in my book too, where, you know, flowers put out pollen and, you know, bees pollinate flowers, right? I mean, there's just this natural flow of giving and receiving. So I actually address that in my book, but it's, you know, and I think Jesus said, you know, the right hand shouldn't know what the left hand's doing, right? So it's also that where it's like, you don't want to give with like, where's mine? Because that's not a gift, that's a bribe. And so understanding that there is this flow of giving and receiving, and when you start getting intentional, another good book, Spiritual Economics, written by Eric Butterworth. I don't know if you've read that one. Unfreaking believable book where he really deciphers it, because I had to make that shift because it was all about get. But if you want to stand out in your network, you want to be known as, and I also talk about this in my book, is if there was 100 people in your network that were surveyed about you, would they call you a giver or a taker? And I went through an exercise that woke me up that I was a big taker. And it was all about me. And do you want to be around a giver or do you want to be around a taker? So I don't know. You and I could do another show on that part, but
we've got some more episodes lined up.
Yeah, it's all good.
I was thinking, there's a guy out there, Kyle Cease. Have you ever heard of Kyle Cease? He's great. Google him. He does some great stuff, Evolving Out Loud. He's got some other things out there, but Kyle Cease was very impactful in my life. And I had him as a coach for a bit and did some of his workshops and things. But he had us do this exercise at one point, as many people do. It's all regurgitated, as you said. So this isn't new, but he said to do it. And I finally heard, do it. Okay, I'll do it. And I went, and you go to the 10 or so closest people to you. And in effect, you say, hey, what's your perception of me?
Oh, yeah, feedback. Yeah. People hate feedback.
Yeah, right. And like, and and then, you know, what am I good at? Where do you see my skills? Things like that. And it's very interesting. I did that exercise, and I went to, of course, the people that I know and love, who, right, we know generally they're going to say things. I went to an ex-boss that I had left in, his name was Darren Riley. Hey, Darren. I left. Like, I have my habits were like, leave in the middle of the night, right? Like, you don't understand how valuable I am as a salesman. I'm out of here. You're going to come in tomorrow and I'll be gone, right? And so I asked him, I was like, I'm going to go to him and see what he's got to say. And then I went to my ex-wife too. This was a bit ago, so it perhaps wasn't, our relationship wasn't as shiny as it is now. But anyway, I could go on about that. But some benefits that came from it was, I was expecting a lot of people to say to me, you know, you're good at an Excel spreadsheet, you're a great negotiator, you're a closer, or all these egoic things that I wanted. And I got back lots of thoughtful things that spoke to the peaceful side of me, which was very cool and very profound. My boss, Darren, and thanks for letting me go on this little riff. He said, you know, he said, you've got this energy. It's very powerful and it can serve for good. He said, but the worst thing was when you would be in a meeting and you weren't in alignment with me, or you perhaps didn't like what we were talking about. He said, your energy would destroy the room. And it was so brutal. And I was like, oh, like, I really need to be cognizant of what energy am I bringing, and to who, and to my boss, who is supposedly a teammate of mine. right?
Great
Anyway, you
feedback.
just,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Feedback, feedback. We need feedback. We have blind spots. We all have blind spots.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have some of the broker people that you're training, inspiring, helping, and they might go, okay, yeah, I do need to change my perception of this, but what are other people going to think? Right? That's the next thing is like, yeah, I could probably do it and I see that there's a benefit, but what about all my friends over here, the hard chargers who are taking and killing it or closing the deal? How would you speak to that? Like, that's going to be the next obvious objection for somebody who's like, I got to be a giver, but what about all my friends over here who are master takers?
I came out. I came out of an organization that, for 24 years. I mean, it was hard charging. I mean, tons of recognition. Like, it was all about being at the top, and the ones that were takers, it just, it's a poop covered boomerang. I mean, it just comes back. I mean, it does, it does. And so. And if you don't believe me, I mean, you get spiritual economics. I mean, read this stuff. Like, understand that it's a law of a giving and receiving. And also, I think people, I think I write about it pretty well in my book, where it's like, it is a natural flow of giving and receiving, right? There is a give, and then there's a receiving back. There's a book, and I did a lot of work on it because I had a shift. Robert Cialdini wrote a book called The Psychology of Influence. And if you, yep, it's over
Is that
there.
it right there?
Yeah. And if
Anyway,
you
go on.
don't, yeah. And if you don't, if you don't, and if you're a taker, I mean, even if you don't believe me, I mean, just get his book and read The Law of Reciprocity. Just read it. Read that chapter. It's probably 40 or 50 pages. But he, like, he's a Harvard psychologist. Like, he lays out, like, how psychologically the law of reciprocity is, if I give to Misha, he's got this inherent reflex to give back. And he it so even if you don't, you're like, oh, that's all woo woo, whatever, get Psychology of Influence and read the Law of Reciprocity. And if I had to go start my business from scratch and I was the biggest taker on the planet, I would go into a town and figure out what I could do to add value to other people. I would connect them. I'd send them referrals. I'd make introductions. And even if I was a taker, that being in alignment with that law will give me more than just manipulating crap. And it's less exhausting. It's a hell of a lot more fun. You have way more fun when you're serving other people than serving yourself. End of
Oh my gosh.
story.
End of story. So much more fun. And I'm just thinking about my own journey, how when I'm in that service mode, literally before we did this podcast, I was like, all right, God, how can I be of service? What can I bring to the table?
Which is, you should be doing that before, not you should, but just in general to everybody. That's what I do. That was my prayer. Look, speak through me to serve the people that need to hear the message. Your will, not mine, usually works out pretty good.
Sorry, I kept interrupting you there or
Yeah, good.
over yaying you. Yeah, it was resonating. That'd be such a good little clip right there. I was like, oh, I was talking over the clip. excuse me. I think, and you will validate this for me, that when I'm in that service mindset and I've dropped into that alignment and said that prayer and working from that space, like the shiny objects still matter. It's like life is good, it's fun, my energy is pure, or say it however you want, but
Yep.
the outcome is not, is it's not out, my joy or my happiness or my connection is not outcome dependent.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fall in love with doing the process, doing the work.
Yeah.
You'll get the best result. Yep.
Yeah. Any favorite stories of offices that you've seen shift, and inevitably it's like, yeah, they had a shift and now they were producing like mad because they were serving at such a high level, or anything you'd like to talk about in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, it's, as I've, grown, and once again, it's not, I don't have it all figured out. I'm not a guru. I'm a miracle in a mess, just like everybody else, right? I'm just leveling up. But no, I mean, just I've had a group that's been with me for, 20 plus years, and just watching, their transformation, and, not only, watching them change and grow, and them having more peace in their life, but their income going up, and their financial situation getting way better, and they're delivering way more value to their clients, and they're talking about some of this stuff that's super important. I have a coach, my coach is like, "What's more important, the golf club or the golf swing?" And I'm like, "Well, it's the golf swing." And the golf swing is a mindset, and everyone's looking for the right golf club. And doing the work of the golf swing and your belief systems and mentality and mindset. And but I think the coolest part, Misha, is just watching, because their kids have grown up, during our business lives together, and watching the what's happened to the kids, I think has been, something I obviously wasn't thinking about, 25 years ago when I decided to become an entrepreneur. But just obviously, the parents did the work, the parents taught them, but there's, a little sliver of, hey, I learned that from Chris, who I probably learned from somebody, and it got passed down. And so, when people are like, "Oh, is it worth it?" I'm like, well, the ripple effect of you working on yourself, and that rippling effect, and how it goes forward, and how many lives it bleeds into, I mean, you just never know, but it's substantial.
So beautiful. That's amazing. That's so true. Again, everybody, chrisfelton.me/book, chrisfelton.me/book, Think and Grow You is the name of the book. Think and Grow You, How to Get Out of Your Own Way and Level Up Your Life. Before we hit stop here, did we miss anything? Are there some thoughts that are sloshing around like you're, oh, I need to or want to say or.
No, man, this has been awesome. I've done probably 80 some podcasts in the last 15 months, and then this has been one of the best, brothers. So I just appreciate you having me, and it's been an honor. Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. It's been great. I'm going to hit stop and we'll say goodbye offline.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Table Rush Talk Show. For resources to help you sell your stuff, go to belove.media/resources. That's belove.media/resources. And be sure to subscribe, comment, 5-star, and share. Thank you again for listening.